Oh Lord, this boy's a handsome.
This is the Dynasty Football Life Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's installment of the Dynasty Football Life. You'll notice the voice at the start of this podcast sounds a little bit different. And no, Dave's voice didn't just get more handsome. As if it could. Now, unfortunately, Dave's no longer with us. I mean, he's still a part of the podcast and he's still alive, thankfully, but he did lose the battle with the raccoon. Ty got it all in film, though, because he's in his usual spot in a tree outside Dave's bedroom window. Ty, could you report in on what occurred?
Oh, it was quite a scene. I like that you went the raccoon story. I was going to come up with something a little bit different to explain Dave's absence. My idea was to say that he got a note from Louis C.K. calling him a chronic masturbator and he's dealing with the plan. But we were talking before the episode about how we got to stop with just the obvious dirty jokes, and I went right to it. So,
yeah.
That's something to prove on, I guess.
Here we are. Low-hanging fruit, buddy. Low-hanging fruit.
I got to be myself. Be me.
Speaking of low-hanging fruit, another starting quarterback was lost for the season this week. Joe Burrow joins Aaron Rodgers, Anthony Richardson, Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones, and Deshaun Watson on the IR. Is Daniel Jones a starting quarterback? Is he really a starting caliber quarterback? Are we going to go with that?
Yeah, I wondered about putting that.
Or is he just like a quarterback who started?
He's paid like a starting caliber quarterback.
Oh, he's definitely he's paid better than most starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, decided to include him there, but yeah, that's pretty debatable.
Yeah, either way, it's been a difficult year for starters. But the good news is teams like the Steelers and the Falcons, they can't lose a starting caliber quarterback. I guess the Giants could have been in there too because they don't have one on the roster. Man, yeah. I don't know if it's all the injuries this year, but I feel like the gap between an elite quarterback and your average quarterback has either grown a lot or maybe quarterbacks aren't that good anymore. Maybe there's just not enough talent coming to the NFL. I know there's got to be. But man, does it seem like the really good guys are really good and then everybody else is just garbage?
I think there's still a pretty good level of talent with some of the young quarterbacks, but it's a bit more spread out, obviously. There's more teams than there was, you know, in past years. There's just, you know, you dilute the talent in the league a bit, obviously, things like that. But I don't know. I put a claim in on Joe Flacco in one league, in a dynasty league. I need a quarterback, so I'm not really here to talk up the quarterback class in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, I did just trade you a wonderful quarterback, Ty, for your dynasty roster.
Yes. So happy to have Cleveland Browns starting quarterback for at least one more week.
Yeah.
On my roster.
Well, speaking of injuries, Ty, Achan. He was in and he was out. He wanted to come back, though, thankfully, but on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm not worried about his ability, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about his ability to stay on the field? He injured the same knee he came back from, and I'm wondering if the Dolphins share a doctor with the Browns. Apparently, he's getting extra feedback on his knee right now. I don't know what extra feedback means, but is it a second opinion? Because they would just say, shouldn't they just say second opinion?
Is extra feedback on his knee? It's like extra bones to make him bigger.
Maybe.
Or stronger. So he can stand up to
get some dolphin kneecaps in there, you know? Never heard about a dolphin with a knee injury, Ty.
No. Never heard of it, legitimately. Yeah.
But scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about his ability to stay on the field year over year?
Probably like a 6 or a 7, I think. Like, I'm not, you know, I wouldn't say like a 9 or 10 for me, just because I think we knew coming in with Achan that that's probably going to be a risk. And you're not likely to get 16, 17 games out of him every year, and that's fine. For right now, the fact that I think it was probably precautionary. He got injured just coming back, so, you know, they decided to be careful with him. So I guess we'll see how the next couple of weeks go.
Yeah.
But you kind of know that's coming with this type of guy. And if you get him on the field for 10 games in a season and you can start him all 10 games, fine, especially since he was like a third-round rookie pick.
Yeah. I mean, for his value, for sure. Like, yeah. Where you got him, I mean, wow, where you drafted him. If you got him, you probably paid a shit ton for him.
No, that's true. And I think to some of the people that were really, really bringing him up their rankings after that 3-week span. That's probably not looking great. And yes, myself included. I think I had him definitely as a top 15 running back. And I mean, we'll see how it goes as far as we reevaluate that. But yeah, I don't know. He's little. He's going to get injured. I guess we can't be shocked.
Nope. And before we get into it, this week's going to be a little different because Dave isn't here. Me and Ty are just going to kind of shoot the shit. We're hoping it's going to be kind of a fast and loose doc. We're going to cover what to do if you're not competing in a dynasty league right now, and kind of how you can kind of resurrect the season and get some value out of it. We're also going to talk about some players that we really like and some upcoming free agents. One thing, Ty, I want you to ask you a question right now since we're playing fast and loose. What was your worst take this year? Who's your worst call? A player that you were super high on that you pumped his tires all preseason coming into the season and you just shit the bed?
Ooh, there's a couple. Definitely have a few.
Pick one. Give me your top three if you want, if you got that many.
I think my worst take over the last couple of years was, or last couple of weeks, sorry, was probably Will Levis. I got a little high on him after the first game. I wasn't even that high on him coming in, but we recorded an episode a couple of weeks ago. I had a couple of beers. I was feeling good. I was feeling loose. I was like, I was ready to just... You know, just this is my guy. I think he's going to be a great starting quarterback, and we'll see on that one. I'd probably like to walk that one back a bit. Coming into the season, my worst take. Ooh, I got a few to choose from, but probably Jahan Dotson, I think. And then through the season, maybe Sam Howell. I liked him coming into the season. I got off of Sam Howell so quickly, and he's been great for fantasy. I think I've been, a little wrong there. I was never super concerned about his fantasy ability. It was more his long-term ability to stay a starting quarterback, which is still a bit questionable, but yeah, I got the Washington offense all messed up.
Well, if we were to go all-time worst take, Ty, I think my love of Jalen Reagor was probably up there. He was my guy coming out of the draft.
Yeah.
This year for me, I'm going to say the guys that, I still have hope for Levis. I really liked, obviously I liked his multi-touchdown game. And he looked good for about 8 seconds last week, with a couple touchdowns. But other than that, I've seen what looks like a starting quarterback and then what looks like a rookie that's just not ready yet. And I don't know where he's going to ultimately land. I was definitely higher on him than I probably should have been. But the two guys that have disappointed me the most that I was really high on coming out of the preseason are Sean Tucker and Roschon Johnson. Roschon Johnson, a lot of it's been his injury came at the worst possible time when he could have had the opportunity to run with it. But I haven't really seen him. He hasn't outperformed his teammates yet, and that makes me a little nervous. And then Sean Tucker's been a non-factor. I really did like his profile coming out of college outside of the heart problem. That was a bit of a an issue. But he was behind Rashad White, who's actually the last couple of weeks really turned it up a little bit and has been playing better football. But those are the two guys I think that I was pretty high on coming into the season. And they were... Roschon Johnson had a little bit of value. Sean Tucker was a freebie, essentially. Like, he was a back-end rookie drafts or free agent pickup. But those are two guys that I really thought were going to be something at this point in the season that really haven't shown for me.
Yeah, Roschon actually looked okay this week. It was only, I think, 6 carries for like 30 yards or something like that. But it seemed like they were starting to actually get him a little bit more involved. So hopefully you see the season end that way with Justin Fields back. The offense might be a little bit more potent.
So
it's possible for him. Yeah, Sean Tucker. Who knows? But UDFA, like you get what you pay for sometimes.
Talent wise, though, when you looked at the rookies coming in, he was in the top. He was in a lot of people's top 5 or top 10 talent wise. And before the heart problem was noticed, he was much higher up there. So I had hope for that. Well, the reason, Ty, you ask, why did you ask that question, Jay? Well, Ty, I'll tell you why. The reason I asked that question. One guy I was really high on at the start of the season is Jalen Warren.
Yeah, I remember it was actually, we did an episode. I think it was Sean Tucker, Jalen Warren, and Ty Chandler were three of the kind of almost, maybe not free. Jalen Warren wasn't quite free, but cheap running backs that we were targeting. And I think Warren and Ty Chandler are starting to get a role now. So, not so bad. Makes up a bit for the Sean Tucker.
Yeah. And Jalen Warren, what's his value today, you think?
Oh, I don't know. It's getting kind of high, man. Like dynasty value. We'll have to see what he does. Now that he's officially the starting running back in Pittsburgh.
In a Matt Canada not led offense.
I was going to say they fired Matt Canada today, which is just great. I'll never root for the demise of someone. I never want to see someone get fired. But in this case,
Dorsey and Canada kind of deserved it. Eberflus. Yeah. There's a couple guys out there that I really would like to see gone.
I mean, I am glad that he got fired, obviously. I never want to see, bad things happen to presumably mediocre people at worst.
Yeah.
But I did want to see something like that happen to Matt Canada. And the fact that the Steelers are 6-4 right now, to me, it's amazing.
It's mind-blowing.
They haven't outgained a team all year.
And they have Kenny Pickett as a starting quarterback, Ty.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. I think maybe we can temper expectations a bit on just like Matt Canada's gone, so the Pittsburgh offense is going to be good now. Yeah. Kenny Pickett's still the quarterback. They have some good pieces otherwise. Warren and even Najee Harris. Like, he's not a terrible running back to have in limited usage with a better back in Jalen Warren.
Yeah. We talked about it at the start of the season, and I think I made a point of pulling out some fancy statistics and talking about how Najee Harris sucked. And I was not a huge fan of Najee Harris, and I was kind of hoping Warren would kind of take a little bit of that limelight away and maybe become the first option. Now he finally is, and I mean, he killed it. Ty, would you put him maybe as a top 15, top 20 dynasty running back? I think for sure, right?
Yeah, I think you definitely can now. Just looking at the kind of the consensus rankings, when you look around the 15 range, you have guys like, you know, this is on Fantasy Pros, but guys like Javonte Williams, Isaiah Pacheco, Najee Harris, there is obviously ahead of him. Alvin Kamara. So you start to get to that kind of mixture. So if you would take like a David Montgomery over him, sure. But I think he's really got a chance to, if he finishes the year strong, like you're probably looking potentially top 10 dynasty running back.
I don't think I'm doing Montgomery over him. I like Warren a little more.
Yeah, I probably do too.
Future wise, for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the Lions, we've seen what the usage is going to look like for Montgomery. And it's, if anything, it's going down a little bit. You're going to see, I mean,
still good, but I mean, Gibbs is just
Been pretty fucking good. And the most interesting stat I think with this guy is 50 qualifying running backs, first in explosive run rate, first in missed tackles, forced attempts, first in yards after contact, first in being my favorite Pittsburgh Steelers running back.
Absolutely.
Dave, I know Dave loves him, and I feel like he just discovered him like a week or two ago. He's just going off about Jalen Warren. Like, we covered him.
Yeah, he's like, Dave, yeah, you hosted an episode where we talked about him. We talked about how much we loved him, but I'm glad he...
Oh, yeah. No, I love it.
I'm glad he got there. And another interesting stat here, the avoided tackle rate over the past month, minimum 40 attempts, 21%. You have Jahmyr Gibbs, 22, Tony Pollard, 22, DeAndre Swift, 23, Brian Robinson, which is kind of surprising. 23, Bijan Robinson, 25, Christian McCaffrey, then 53, Jalen Warren for the best. So that's, you know, if you're into the fancy next-gen sort of stats there, that's pretty goddamn good.
No, avoiding tackles is good, right?
I mean, I think generally it's good every now and then. You know, if I'm feeling lonely, you know, you want to get the, you know, the burly linebacker's arms around you.
I'm just asking for Zach Wilson.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you see that? I sent you that clip on Twitter where...
Yeah, he did.
Was it Bernard or not Bernard?
Yeah, it was the Bills game, right?
He dragged his balls across his face. It was a savage teabagging, too. Like, it wasn't even like, it wasn't like it could have been accidental. Like, I've never once in my life gotten up that way.
Yeah, could there be anything better to describe what it must be like to be Zach Wilson right now? I feel for the guy. It feels like the world is dragging its balls across his face. You know,
he's 6'2". He's pretty good looking. He's from a multi-generational wealthy family.
Oh, you know, he's fine. Yeah, he's fine.
Poor Zach Wilson.
From an NFL perspective, I mean, the guy's like, it can't be easy right now for him.
Yeah, he'll define the CFL or the Arena Football League. I'm not too worried about him.
I'm not sure he'll thrive there.
Yeah.
See, I guess.
I mean, if he was in maybe like a blind football league, he might have a shot. But those guys are pretty savage too, so I don't know.
I didn't know such a sport existed. I'll check it out.
Yeah. I mean, he might have more. He might have the 5 seconds he needs to throw the ball. But yeah, enough about Zach Wilson. The media's covered that fucking nonstop. I was trying to watch some highlights, and all they talked about was how bad the Jets' offense was, and not that the Bills' offense actually looked good for the first time in a little while. Like, to me, yeah, that was more of the story. Like, we know the Jets' offense is trash. We know they banked everything on a 39-year-old quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
they did.
Just fucking surprised. Like, that, if anyone should be losing their job for the Jets, it's the GM. Like, how did they not go out and get a fucking quarterback? Like, that makes no sense to me.
No, they definitely stuck with Zach Wilson too long. I don't know what options there are, but like,
well, yeah, Ty, like
maybe there get was a the, Jimmy
the
Garoppolo
fella that
or
went to
right?
the Vikings. He was available.
Oh yeah, Dobbs.
Dobbs
yeah,
I mean, was that, available. He would give them a chance to win at least.
I don't know if everybody Carson knew how Wentz. Good he potentially was, but I mean, yeah, like, you know, like Jimmy Garoppolo probably must have been tradable, like.
Tony DeVito is better than Zach Wilson.
Interesting fact about Tony DeVito, not related to Danny. Also, first quarterback in NFL history to win a game while still living with his parents.
That's pretty
probably.
Sweet.
I don't know. Probably. Sure, but probably, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's funny. He's such a, like, exactly you think of, like, the New Jersey Italian. Like,
yes.
Like, he just, know, you can't help but kind of root for him a bit.
I know. I don't have any hate for the Giants. They just don't affect my life.
They don't come across my radar that often.
No, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of people that could still live with their parents, because he definitely has one, is Kenneth Walker the third. He is a third, which means he has a father who's the second. And then the OG, which should be his grandfather, unless I'm reading that incorrectly. He's out. We finally got a chance to see what Zach Charbonnet is up to. And this week he gets the 49ers. That's a little rough, but he did run 15 times for 47 yards, and he caught 6 passes for 22 with Walker out. I'm a little excited, Ty. I'm a little titillated.
Oh, yeah. I love Zach Charbonnet. I've said multiple times this year, it's kind of disappointing to me that he even got drafted, in Seattle, because Kenneth Walker is also a very good running back, and I thought this guy could definitely be a bit of a game changer for fantasy. It would have been nice to see him get the opportunity. And I guess now we will. But I'm just trying to check now, but I think it's 49ers this week, and I think it's Dallas and then San Francisco again, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just going to double check that.
So we're going to get to see what he's made of. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it's certainly not ideal.
No.
But
no.
Let me just check my math here. By math, I mean I'm going to read the schedule. That's exactly what it is.
That's math.
Oh, man. It's San Francisco, Dallas, San Francisco, Philadelphia.
Yeah, they're not making the playoffs, are they?
So they got the 26th best run defense, well, at least against fantasy, 27th, 26th again with San Fran, 32nd. So the hardest for Philly.
Yep.
So that's what he could potentially face, depending how long Kenneth Walker's out. But, I mean, he still has a chance to be successful just because he's going to be the only guy. He'll get the lion's share, and he's supposed to be a pretty damn good receiving back.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you get an opportunity there playing down that he still gets involved. So it'll be really nice to see what he can actually do as a lead back. Will it matter in the long run for Dynasty? Maybe a bit. Maybe it becomes... It's already been kind of edging closer to a bit more of a share there.
Yeah.
Compared to the start of the year. And if he plays well with Walker's out, then maybe there's a better chance of both of them being relevant week to week.
Seattle kind of does this too, though. They draft running backs. They sit for a year or two, and then they become relevant. It's happened with Kenneth Walker. It'll happen. It's happened with Zach Charbonnet. We had Rashad Penny. We've had DJ Dallas. We've had, there's been a lot of guys go through there, and I'll kind of wait their turn, or some of them not even get a turn.
Yeah, in the case of Rashad Penny, sit for a while, irrelevant for a while, become relevant for a brief matter of time, and then just back to irrelevancy.
So we get irrelevant, irrelevant, relevancy, irrelevant. Justin Fields, he's back. Last three full games, though, QB8, QB1, and QB3. That's pretty fucking relevant. 18 rush attempts is the most by a QB this season?
Yeah, he had the 18 rush attempts, so it's the most by a QB this season. And it's the most since last November. I forgot the date, but I saw this on one of the football podcasts or something. But since last November, when he also had 18 rush attempts.
That's crazy.
So it shows you how.
You think Chicago's going to want that guy back, though? What are they doing? Does anybody know?
No, I don't think they know.
Like, there's the Washington trade, which was a bit weird.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird attempt to I like Sweat. He's a good player, but you're definitely overpaying him.
Yep.
Like, pretty immensely. So that's a bit odd, but I don't see a world where Justin Fields is still the quarterback next year. And not because of Justin Fields. I think he's a really good quarterback, and I'll be interested to see where he goes. But just like, they have the Carolina pick.
Yeah.
That's going to be first or second. That's going to be a chance at Drake May or Caleb Williams, either one of which probably going to be better than Justin Fields. But even if not, you're coming in, you have 5 years of control on a rookie quarterback, rookie contract. You don't pass that up.
Now, he's a good fantasy quarterback, but he's not one that's going to win you games. And it's pretty evident.
But on a different team, though, I think Justin Fields still has the potential to be a good NFL quarterback. Like, you put him, we saw Desmond Ridder winning games in Atlanta this year. I mean, I'm sure Arthur Smith would fuck it up with Justin Fields, but
yeah,
like a player like that, like, I still think he could be really good somewhere. And it's not, for me, it's not necessarily a knock on Fields. It's just, if you get a chance at Caleb Williams or Drake May, again, on that, 5-year rookie contract, obviously you have to do that, right?
Now, I think the one thing about Justin Fields that is a little bit, you know, it's what are they doing with him? Like, are they showcasing him now to see if they can maybe get a little more for him if they decide to move on and draft one of those two guys? Or, they can't be trying to win games. There's no benefit to them really winning games right now. But then again, the trade deadline, they go and acquire two defensive players. Like, I just don't know yeah. what their plan is or what Eberflus is even doing as a head coach. Like, I really have no idea what to read about Chicago right now. That's a team that I have no vibe check on.
Yeah, I don't think you acquire Sweat if you think, I'm just going to throw the season and we'll try to get to, you know, see what our draft pick looks like. But maybe they're afforded the opportunity to just see what they have in field, see how good the team could be, and try to win games because they know they'll end up with a first or second overall pick with the Carolina pick anyway. So that's a bit of a nice safety net, I guess. But I don't know. Like, I don't know what the hell Chicago is doing. I don't think Chicago knows what they're doing. There's people way smarter than me, way more involved in the NFL that probably don't know what they're doing either. But I guess we'll see. What a ride. I think
the problem, Ty, is there's people that are way dumber than us that are also in the NFL.
Oh, so.
And some of them, I think some of them are in Chicago.
Yeah, probably a few of them are, but. Yeah. Hey, I will just say, I did watch the Chicago game this week. It was nice to see Fields back. That was a fun game to watch. I really do enjoy watching Justin Fields and DJ Moore. DJ Moore is an awesome receiver. So it was fun to see him back, and I really just want to see him end up in a place where he can be fantasy relevant next year because I like these type of players that can just have 18 rush attempts. I like when fantasy has more relevant players and is more fun and, you know, that whole spiel I've gone on a few times, so.
Yeah.
So hopefully he ends up somewhere where he's a good fantasy contributor next year.
Ty, I'm going to shift topics a little bit here, and I'm going to ask for a friend. What do you do now if you're out of Dynasty? What if you're not competing? What if you're 5-5 or 5-6, or you're, you know, you're just a little out of it?
Oof. I wouldn't know.
What are you doing today? What would you do? I'm asking for a friend, of course.
Wouldn't know. My teams are all very good. Which is not true, but this is a bad week for Dave to miss if we're talking about this.
I know, right? His teams are actually pretty good this year, Ty. I can't.
I know. He was out of it in Dynasty so many years ago, and now his teams are built well.
So what to do when you're out of it in Dynasty? Dave could have answered this question. It could have been tank for 5 years and build a wide receiver core that will rival the Hall of Fame.
There is something to that, though. I think in Dynasty, to build the wide receiver core, that's the way that you have to go now. I mean, super flex, you need your quarterbacks. I get it. Elite tight ends can absolutely win you leagues, but there just aren't that many of them. It's the wide receiver core. Build that wide receiver core. That's all my best dynasty teams, especially in any type of half or PPR type of league. And running backs become, you know, it's become a bit of a different position. There's not that many bell cows. There's not that many Christian McCaffreys out there. Although, if you have McCaffrey, you're probably sitting pretty well in your league. But he's kind of the exception there. So, yeah. Definitely, the wide receiver core is a great place to build from.
Okay, so let's just put positions aside here, and let's just talk about what to do with your roster. So if you have a team that's, you know, you got a couple vets or a couple guys that are going to become free agents, the best thing to do, obviously, is to liquidate those assets, right? Obviously, you want to sell them when they're at their highest peak, but right now you can't look at peaks because your league probably has a trade deadline. Hopefully, if you're in a good dynasty league, your trade deadline starts around the fantasy playoffs. Because before that, I mean, it's just kind of silly to follow the NFL trade deadline. So I think if you're in a decent dynasty league, you're going to have a shot right now. So what do you do? You go, let's just say you have Derrick Henry, Ty. He's coming up as a free agent. What are you going to do with him?
I mean, obviously it depends on the type of roster you have. But we're saying if you're out on dynasty, so if your team is, you know, sitting out of the playoffs and you have Derrick Henry, I don't see any value in retaining him.
No.
You know, we don't really know where he's going to end up next year, but it probably looks like it's a change. I can't really see him coming back to Tennessee. I think Tajay Spears is there to take over that role.
Yeah.
So if you have Derrick Henry, you got to flip him. I think any type of older player like that, you got to flip him. And don't be afraid to trade them for less than you were kind of hoping for either. I see a lot of had a lot of conversations, a lot of trade proposals with people. They'll talk about how, well, I'm not moving anybody unless it's for a first round pick. You know, that's the only thing I'm doing. It's got to be a first. It's like, well, fair. You want to get best value. But you can get a lot of value out of seconds and thirds as well, especially if there's just no other options. Like, what's the point of hanging on to some of these guys? Like, I have one league where this year I drafted in the second and the third round, I ended up with Tank Dell and with Tajay Spears, for example. Another one where I had Puka Nacua in the fourth. Like, obviously, those are outliers. That's a lot of luck.
Yeah, it's not always, though.
There's still some value to that. So I think you have to make your moves. If you don't have the team that you want, like, don't be afraid to reset it.
Yeah. And I think with a guy like Derrick Henry, too, like, he is going to be a free agent. He is likely to not end up in Tennessee. Wherever he goes, he's going to get some money. Whether or not he gets term, I think, is kind of the key part. But he's going to end up somewhere where he's probably still going to be the bell cow. So you're going to have a guy who's leaving an offense right now that is not doing very well and has not been great for running this year. So if I was a betting man, I would assume that wherever Derrick Henry goes next year is probably going to be better than where he is this year. The Titans seem to be completely okay with run, run, pass, kick. Run, run, pass, kick. Like, there doesn't seem to be... It's not the Derrick Henry days of old where he was just, you know, the O-line was opening up places. He was destroying people, trucking people. That's not happening anymore. So wherever he ends up, it might actually be a better place. So
He's not the Derrick Henry of old either, but yes.
He's not, absolutely. Sure. But the offense is poorer than it's ever been, I think, too.
Oh, yeah, it's not a great offense right now, for sure.
What's his name? Treylon Burks has not been the A.J. Brown replacement. They're kind of hoping he would be. Ryan Tannehill regressed and then got injured, and they're trying a bunch of rookie wide receivers. So I think him being a free agent, if I owned him and I'm not competing, obviously I want to get rid of him. But if I'm buying him, I'm thinking, well, you know, him being a free agent, he actually might – next year he might even be better than it will be for me this year. And if I'm competing, I'm looking at a guy like this that I could probably get for much less than I would have paid at the start of the season.
True. That's a good point. And also, I mean, Treylon Burks is not the A.J. Brown replacement. Seems obvious, doesn't it?
I know, right?
Everyone but the Tennessee Titans. Yeah. Silly bastards.
Yeah. I got a couple Treylon Burks shares. Ty, I'm just, he's one of those ones where I'm just going to sit on it and wait, because no matter what I trade him for at this point, it's going to be pennies in the dollar.
Yeah. The old sunken cost fallacy. Yeah.
Yep. Well, might as well stay in the fire that is the running back situation. Let's skip the next guy, because I really want to talk about Saquon. We'll go back to Josh Jacobs after. So I think Saquon's he might be the guy that kind of goes against the rule here.
Like, as in, if you're not competing, you think you'd hang on to Saquon still?
I don't think I'd hang on to him, see. But I'm not worried about him becoming a free agent at all.
No, I don't think so either, because
it's a worse situation than Tennessee.
Yeah, the Giants are a mess. And while he may not be the same kind of type of athlete he was, you know, a few injuries a few years ago, he's still a guy that could play a three-down role. And, you know, obviously probably not a bell cow like most running backs aren't anymore, but could still kind of get in there and go to another team and end up being the lead back. So free agency, for me, it doesn't really scare me for Saquon, no. I think what scares me more is him re-signing in New York.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, right? Is like if they franchise tag him or he ends up signing there, I'm that franchise looks lost right now. And I think you got to assume Daboll is gone after the season. I can't see that continuing. I think he's a good coach too. I'm not so super worried about him, but that Daniel Jones is going to handcuff them for a bit. I don't think they can go back to him next year. They're probably going to try, but.
They might have to draft a quarterback. I mean, they could be picking quite high. Like, I mean, at what point, I guess you can sit, you can have Daniel Jones on the roster for another year. And I think it's like you have 1 year dead money of like $40 million or something if you cut him. It's like maybe you just do that and bite the bullet and draft another quarterback. I think I probably would.
Yeah. That whole team is looking pretty, like, I mean, the defense is okay at best. But their wide receiver room is completely fucking, like, there's not much there.
That's dog shit, yeah.
Like, Saquon is their best, I mean, probably their best wide receiver, their best running back, and he's probably their best quarterback, in all honesty.
Yeah, I haven't seen him throw many passes, but he probably is.
He probably
not
is.
Not like competition. Yeah,
I mean,
probably.
I mean, he's got to be better than DeVito, and I mean, Daniel Jones.
Don't talk bad about DeVito.
The New York situation is not looking good in the QB department right now, that's for sure.
No, it is not.
So Saquon, if you're not competing, are you going to trade him? I'm going to trade him, and I'm still expecting a lot for him though.
I'll trade him for the right price. I'm not going to push it. Like, I probably, you know, with Derrick Henry, I was actually in a conversation to acquire Derrick Henry in a league where I am competing, but the person that owned him was expecting a first round pick. I didn't want to give up a first round pick for him, so I just figured I could use that in a better asset. And I ended up trading the first to you in that league anyway. in a different deal that we made.
That is true.
I acquired Breece Hall, and I gave you a first, and you also acquired Tajay Spears and Kendra Miller.
Yep.
And I like that deal a lot more for me, for obvious reasons, because Breece Hall's quite a bit younger than Derrick Henry. Yeah. So I wasn't willing to give up a first for Derrick Henry. I would have given a second for sure. I probably would have given up Kendra Miller and a pick or something like a rookie that hasn't really worked out. But with Saquon, I think I'd probably still, hold out for a first if I have him. And if I'm not getting that, then maybe just hang on next year and see what happens.
Yeah, I think when you look back on that trade, I think that's exactly what you kind of want to look at. Is you look at a team like your team that just really needed some help in the running backs, as far as an elite starting running back. You're not gonna pay too much for a guy that's only gonna help you for one season. And Breece Hall is still, in my opinion, and most people's opinion, still a top five dynasty running back. So that was a good kind of a win-win, I think, for both of us. I think there's a lot of risk on both of our ends because you're losing a first-round pick, and I'm picking up a Tajay Spears, who's still kind of an unknown commodity, but has looked good in his sample size. Who hasn't really looked good would be Kendra Miller. I mean, the opportunity hasn't really come yet for him, but I still, there's still an opportunity and a path to targets behind, behind the big guy there.
Behind Kamara. Yeah, it's disappointing for him just with the injuries. You kind of expected him to get in there. Then he was also injured. And then even when he's been healthy, he hasn't really forced his way out there. So that's too bad. But he's the type of guy that I'm honestly probably looking to acquire if my team's out of it. Because I don't think you have to give up too much if it was just a trade just for him. Or add him onto a trade like you did with me. And just kind of, keep that. Just kind of hope you can kind of cash in on that later down the road.
And I think that's what I'm always looking for in a trade, too, is I'm looking for, especially in dynasty leagues where there's deep, deep benches, I'm looking for the throw-in. I'm looking for the guy that, you could it probably cost you a little more to get him on his own than it would in a package. And I feel like a Kendra Miller is kind of that throw-in piece where the other team's not going to miss him that much, but it's an unlikely lottery ticket, but a lottery ticket nonetheless.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you're competing, you're like, throw in somebody that can help me like now. Mm-hmm. Give me I'm in a super flex league. Give me a quarterback that's going to start for a couple of weeks just so I can kind of push through for my playoff run. But if you're not competing, you take the lottery ticket.
Yep.
Like Kendra Miller. So yeah.
Well, Josh Jacobs ties the next guy on the list. There's very few running backs in the NFL that get more work than he does.
Yeah, got a lot of work. Rushing leader last year.
Also gonna be a free agent.
Yard leader.
So what the fuck's going to happen there?
I don't know what they're going to do with him with the Raiders. I don't know if there's much of a plan to bring him back. This year, it's been tough for him. It started really poorly.
3.3 yards per attempt this year. It's been a lot of short runs.
Yeah, it's been tough sledding for him. And he's been a little bit better lately. But it's just kind of a thing in the NFL where a lot of times the rushing leader ends up struggling a bit the next year. Maybe it's just the wear and tear. I don't know. But I can think Josh Jacobs, if he does hit the free agent market, I can think of a lot of teams he might look pretty good on. Put him with James Cook on the on the Bills, or just name a team that could use somebody, that has that kind of skill set. I think he'll be fine. His market might be a little bit less than it would have been at the start of the year.
Ty, it's kind of funny when you look at some of these free agent running backs that were all fairly high picks. They're all on shit teams.
Yeah. There's a...
Like Oakland, so far. Oakland or Vegas had he was drafted by Oakland. He's obviously not in Oakland anymore, but there's a team that was a bit of on the upswing, made the playoffs. Then Josh McDaniels comes along. That visor-wearing fuck. Absolutely destroys another team.
Yeah.
Chases another... I mean, I don't like Derek Carr. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but... He's better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, probably.
And Josh McDaniels does it again. He comes to a team and chases out the quarterback. Like Jay Cutler. Didn't want Jay Cutler, Ty. Jay Cutler's gone. Had a decent career with Chicago. I didn't really like Jay Cutler, but he was better than everything they did after that for a long time.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels just sucks.
Yeah.
The way that he lost that room and the way that... I forget the actual interaction, but there was like a speech. There was like in the locker room, he was giving the team shit, and one of the team captains stood up and he was like, "We got to stand behind this guy." It's like, and he made some mention to the Patriots. I forget the exact scenario. I'm sure people have seen it. I could probably look it up. And he mentioned the Patriots, and then Josh McDaniels shot him down right away. He's like, you never talk about that team. You never talk about the Patriots. And just shit on the guy, like the only guy that was like standing up for him in the locker room.
Yeah. He's a moron, Ty.
Yeah, just a moron. Like,
that coaching tree is looking a little, it doesn't have a lot of fruit in it anymore, does it?
Buy a full fucking hat.
You can afford it. It's not even like he has nice hair. Doesn't have good flow.
6 out of 10. Yeah. 6 out of 10 at best. Oh,
Ty, 6. Come on. 6 is pretty good.
You know, Sean McVay was wearing a visor. I get it. He wanted to show off the locks.
Same
I
hair.
Get it.
They had the same haircut, pretty much.
Yeah, that's just the first coach I could think of. Yeah,
I think that's just, I don't think it's a haircut, actually. I think that's just what your hair fucking looks like when you wear a visor.
Yeah, no. Trevor Lawrence, give him a visor.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence could rock a visor, I think. He'd look like kind of look like a 90s Swedish DJ.
He kind of already does.
If you threw a visor on. Yeah. Okay. Well, Josh Jacobs, I'm not super worried about as a UFA. Yeah, like Ty said, there could be some good landing spots. It all depends. It's a gamble, but the talent is obviously there. He's only had, I mean, this season he's unlikely to hit 1,000 yards. He might, though, with Josh McDaniels gone. He's only had one season before this where he didn't hit 1,000 yards. Touchdowns are, again, down. Like, everything's down this year, but next year it could be on a better team. Can't really be on much worse of a team, though. Might hurt his payday a bit. The market's going to be tough. Market's always tough for running backs, though. We've seen that. But speaking of tough markets, man, you know who might have a tough market next year, Ty? Hasn't done himself any favors this year, I'll tell you what. Tony Pollard. And the funny part about Tony Pollard is, at the start of the season, I think it might have been after game one even, or even before game one, we talked about who's the next Tony Pollard. And we're not talking necessarily on a talent perspective. We were talking more of a situational thing. Like, who's behind a good running back who's about to potentially move on? I think Tajay Spears might have actually been one of those guys.
Oh, those, yeah, Jalen Warren.
Yeah,
and
Jalen Warren. Was the episode. We talked about who's the next Tony Pollard. The guy that, you know, is good and he's the next man up. Well, Tony Pollard has not looked very good this year, and he's older than a lot of people think he is. He's been in the league for 5 years. He's about to become a free agent. Where is he going to end up? And what kind of value, I mean, as of right now, Ty, as a Tony Pollard owner, I have not been happy this year. It's been tough. He's not finding the end zone. He's not catching very many passes. Last week, he caught 4, which is the first time he's gotten a 4 reception since week 6, and the first time he scored a touchdown since week 1.
Yeah, I will say, though, for Tony Pollard, I think my thinking on it, it's kind of gone a couple of different levels this year. Coming into the season, like many people, I was very excited for him. I thought this was going to be, you know, his absolute breakout. He's going to be potentially dominant on a good Dallas team because of how good he's been in a shared role in the past. And then over the next couple of weeks, up until very recently, my thought kind of changed to, I think maybe some people are just better in a timeshare. It makes sense. You stay fresh. You can get played in different situations, maybe ones that kind of suit your skill set better, that sort of thing. I kind of thought maybe that's where Tony Pollard was. But over the last couple weeks, I've started to think maybe I've given up on him just a little bit too soon. It's been a tough year, but he's looked a hell of a lot better the last couple of weeks. And we have to remember, like, this dude broke his ankle in the playoffs last year. Like, there was no guarantee he was even going to start the season. He ended up coming in. He started, you know, played obviously right away. And maybe it's recovery time. I don't know. I'm not like super confident in that, but like that could certainly be the case. And if you look at him since week 9, so just over the last couple of weeks, 3rd in explosive run rate, 8th in missed tackle, 16th in yards after contact. We brought him up earlier in avoiding tackles. He was right in the middle of that top 5. And that's on the season. So I think we're starting to see a bit more of what we expected out of Pollard. And if this continues through the end of the season, and if Dallas is able to, you know, kind of win some games through the end of the year and have themselves a decent season, maybe he comes back to Dallas. And if not, he could probably still land a pretty decent contract somewhere. Maybe it's not as long term as you'd like. But I think there's an opportunity here for a second half resurgence, I think.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think if I owned him that I'd be necessarily looking to move on from him right now. I think I want to stay in the Flames just a little bit and maybe see if he can add a little bit of value to that. Dallas has been a team that's always kind of had a pretty strong run game. Like, you know, there's been quite a few players that have gone through there that have had some pretty excellent careers. And I don't
name 5. No, I'm sure.
Like, probably could
they've had a lot of great running backs. Yeah.
But if you look at that team, they can't, I don't think Dak Prescott is the kind of quarterback that can't support, like, he needs a good running back, I think, for his play actions to work and all that, and that sort of stuff. I don't see anyone behind him. Like, he's got Uncle Rico Dowdle and Deuce. I've taken bigger Deuce's Vaughn kind of behind him right now. And
to be fair, Jake could say that about Derrick Henry.
I could. I take big.
Jake's taking some massive
big shits. So is Dave. He's a shit stick.
He does have a shit stick. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Dallas is either going to have to either sign another free agent, re-up Tony Pollard. I mean, could be on a one-year deal. I don't know if they're going to invest long-term in another running back. We know Zeke turned out, right? So, but they got to have somebody.
Not, yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, they know better than anybody if he's playing injured. So if he's playing injured, I think they're going to have a little more patience with him, and potentially that might work in his favor, especially if he has a second half resurgence. Speaking of guys, though, Ty, that look like they have a bad ankle, Austin Eckler. He does not. He's been injured this year, but he has not looked great. His attempts are down. Receptions are down. Yards per attempt are down. Health, again, has been a concern this season. And age might be catching up to one of the better running backs of the last 10 years.
No, this one's disappointing because I love Austin Eckler. He seems like a genuinely good dude. And he's someone who supports the fantasy community. He gets really involved in it. He's one of the, like, you know, not too many NFL players embrace it. I think it annoys most of them. And he's been one
Justin Jefferson recently.
Yeah. And fair enough.
Yeah.
He shouldn't give a shit about your fantasy team. He's trying to stay healthy. I get it. But Eckler, yeah, he's looked, he just has not looked all that fast recently. And I guess that was never necessarily his calling card. It's been more of his pass catching. But there was a play last week, and it made its way around Twitter, where you could see him running open field with the ball, where he gets chased down and tackled. And my first thought was, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the dog park with my girlfriend and my dog, obviously. And I was throwing the ball for my dog, and at one point I was running after him, and my girlfriend was taking a video, and she thought it was like the sweetest thing, and she shows it to me, and she's laughing, and I just look at it as like, holy fuck, I'm slow. I can't run. And like, look at this plodding jackass running here in the dog park. And it's like, when I saw Austin Eckler running, I'm just like, oh.
Is that what I look like?
Yeah. Like, I hope I look better than that.
Yeah. Ty, you shouldn't chase small, fast dogs. You should chase my dog.
Yeah, I should. Yeah, I can catch your dog, probably.
Yeah. He's slow. He's big, but he's slow. And kind of runs like he's running, like, kind of runs like Phoebe from Friends, where he's like just shits everywhere. It's definitely not a tight looking run, that's for sure. Now, Austin Eckler, the one thing I think that concerns me the most is his receiving work this year. And I mean, the Chargers, that's got to be one of the more disappointing teams in the season, really, in the last couple of years.
Every season since Phillip Rivers.
Yeah. And even
they're always somebody's Super Bowl pick. They're always somebody's like, well, they're going to come around. They just never do.
No, they never do. And Eckler this season is a 63% catch rate, down from his average of 79.4 of his career. That's a significant dip. And anytime you're going to miss that many, anytime you're down that much on your receptions, that's really going to hit your fantasy value. And I think he's just maybe aged out of the running back, you know, one role. I think that's probably the easiest assumption to make. Now, if I own him, I'm definitely looking to move off of him. There's no way I'm going, well, let's run it back next year, because he's going to be 29, man. That's the age that running backs fall off a cliff.
Most of them are already at the bottom of the cliff by then, even.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, he's definitely someone, if you're not competing, definitely someone that you want to sell. And hopefully you did. I mean, because even fantasy-wise, he hasn't been terrible this year. It's 14.7 fantasy points per game and half PPR. That's running back 10. So I think unless people are actually watching him, kind of paying attention, seeing a bit of the slowdown, you could probably still sell him for a pretty decent return. And I think this is your last opportunity to do so. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is.
He still has that name value a little bit too. Like, there's people out there that go, it's Austin Eckler. Like, he's just been that consistent fantasy guy for so long. Another guy, Ty.
Absolutely.
We're going to move on to. Not a consistent fantasy name. Not a sexy name at all. Gus.
Ooh, Dave would disagree.
No.
Talking about Gus Edwards.
No, I told Dave. We actually had a text for the other day, and we're talking about Gus Edwards. I was like, you like that guy so much, you're going to name your son after him. He's like, is that even legal to name your son Gus anymore? And I don't think it is, Ty. I don't think it is. Now, if I was to ask you a question, you own Jamal Williams last year. You got to trade him, right? Like that touchdown season he had, the fantasy points. Like you had, like unless unless you were going to win the fucking league, you gotta move off of that guy. No matter where he went, he was gonna regress.
I don't see where you're possibly going with this.
Well, Ty, Gus Edwards is the Jamal Williams of last year. This year,
yeah,
almost half of his career touchdowns have come this season. 10 out of his 22. This is really the only thing keeping him fantasy relevant. He doesn't receive. He's an average runner at best. And Baltimore really had no intention of giving him as many touches this year. And they're not going to pay a goal line back. He's this year Jamal Williams. Fucking stamp it. Dave, I hope he doesn't listen to this episode because he loves Gus. And he's going to hold on to him. But his value is this year, and somebody might pay him next year based on his value from this year. But I don't think he's going to get a big contract like Jamal Williams did. That didn't make any sense to me. But yeah, Gus is if you're not contending, Gus is a very easy sell.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
Get what you can for him.
Even with Mitchell, I think you're going to see a bit of Mitchell working in. I think Edwards is a better running back than Justice Hill. And I think that's the Ravens have kind of settled on that. So you'll probably see you'll still see good value out of Gus for the rest of the season. The Ravens have a really good offense, especially running game, for this year. But coming into next year, like, do they pay Gus Edwards money and just be like, oh, this is our lead back, and we don't bring anyone else in? No, I don't see that as really much of a possibility. I mean, we'll see what happens with J.K. Dobbins. I hope he comes back. I hope he's able to play somewhere else, but he might not be able to. Like, you're probably looking in Baltimore. Maybe it's a Mitchell, Justice Hill, and like a draft pick, and Gus Edwards hits the free agent market somewhere.
Yep.
In a situation that I'm probably not wanting on my fantasy team.
No. And I love, like, don't get me wrong, I love Gus Edwards and what he's done for fantasy teams this year. He hasn't been a terrible running back over his career. He's never really had a ton of work either. Like, he's never eclipsed more than 723 yards. His attempts have never eclipsed anything over 144. This year, he's already at 133. So he's, this is the first year where he's actually going to get kind of a closer to a bell cow workload. And his average is still quite good this year. Like, his yards per attempt this year are 4.2, down from his average of 5, which is to be expected when you're not
5, you know, is good.
4.2 is good. So, like, the stats are there, but he does not receive the ball. Like, he's got 10 targets and 9 receptions. So when he catches the ball, he's, you know, he's catching the ball when the ball's thrown to him. But that is not going to help you in fantasy.
He has 10 targets, so that's this year, right? Or is that his career?
This year.
This year.
Okay. He's got 34 in his career, Ty.
He doesn't have many more in his career.
34.
Dang.
Yeah, so no hate to Gus Edwards. If you're contending, he's helping you out big time this year, but there's going to be some TD regression, I think, for the last half of the season. And next year, oh, man, I don't want that. I don't want that on my roster. Here's the trickiest one, though, Ty. DeAndre Swift. Having a better season in Philly than he ever had in Detroit. He's almost, again, just like Gus Edwards, he's almost totaled his average touch count already this season. The Eagles only paid a 4th and a 7th to get him, so they're not tied to him. I think it comes down to contract term.
I can see that. I think potentially also, you know, how far the Eagles go. This is a team with Super Bowl aspirations, and if they can win, you know, a couple of games in the playoffs and Swift plays well for them, maybe they decide to bring him back and they give him some money, some little more term. I don't know. But as far as fantasy goes, and just as far as running backs go, DeAndre Swift, to me, he's been such an underrated back over the last year or so, after maybe being slightly overrated as a prospect. But I think DeAndre Swift is a fantastic running back. And if you look at the last 20, 25 games that he's played, he's been an RB1 or at least close to in most of those games. He's a very consistent fantasy running back. And if he sticks around in Detroit, if he sticks around in Philadelphia, for me, that's an easy top 15 dynasty running back. So as someone that does have a couple of DeAndre Swift shares, I really do hope he actually just stays on the Eagles. I think it's a good fit for him. And I think depending on, I'll let you elaborate maybe on what you mentioned with term, but I think depending on how well the team finishes the season, I think it's still a good possibility that's where he remains. I think he's been a great fit there.
Yeah, I think he has as well. And he is from Detroit, I think, if I can recall, Ty.
That sounds right.
I'm going to say it right now. I'll edit it in if I'm incorrect. But I think he's from Detroit. No, not Detroit.
I opened a beer.
Philly.
I think he's from Philly.
And you know, he may want to stay there, but I really do think it comes down to contract term. I don't know if Philadelphia's going to want to give him, you know, the term and the money that he's going to want. You know, it is his only chance to kind of, you know, set up some generational wealth. So there, there is this, the possibility that he moves on. But I think if he stays there, that makes a lot of sense. Because they, I mean, they did pay a fourth and a seventh, which isn't, you know, it's not a lot. But like, do you want to spend a fourth and a seventh and go spend a fourth again and another running back? Like, that doesn't
make
a ton of sense either.
And they've kind of struggled with the guys. Like, Miles Sanders was, it was hit or miss, but they, you know, they brought in Rashad Penny, who they don't even really want to have on the field. Yeah. Like, you found the guy, you found somebody that you're comfortable with. Unless he's asking for a ridiculous contract, then,
yep.
You know, why not, Philly? Why not? Bring him in. He's a Detroit or Philadelphia native, we think.
I know, it's Philadelphia time. I'm positive it's Philadelphia. I'm not going to look it up. I'm so positive. One thing I'm not positive about that is Antonio Gibson. I put him in here. And it's, you might ask, why would Jay put Antonio Gibson in the dock of free agent running backs that you should be selling if you're not competing? Well,
kind of fumbled this one.
Ty, tables are turned. He's someone I think you should be buying if you're not competing or if you're competing, because he's going to cost you dick. And I still like his talent. He's going to be 26 next year. He's not, you know, it's not super old. But his fumbles, I think, you know, his fumbles were kind of the reason in 2021 he lost the starting role. He hit 1,000 yards that year, but he had 6 fumbles. That's quite a bit. But since then, he's only had 4 fumbles and just about as many touches. I'm just going to, you know, ignore that stat for a minute. But he does have an incredible profile for today's NFL. He's, you know, he can catch the ball. He can run the ball a bit. You know, Washington seems kind of set on Brian Robinson and, you know, what they can do with him and Sam Howell. But I like to see Antonio Gibson land somewhere where he has the opportunity to kind of shine in a, you know, maybe a split role. And I think you can get him for whatever the last pick in your draft might be. We're close to it.
Yeah, he's probably quite cheap now. I think people are maybe a bit fed up with the way it's gone over the last 4 yep. years for him. He was fairly highly touted. He's someone I loved him quite a bit. College. Yeah, me too. And almost every single season, I think up until this season, this is the last year I'm just like, you know, fuck it. I'm not going down this road again. But I think I made a case for him almost every single year. And it's obviously it hasn't really worked out. He did hit 1,000 yards in 2021, I think.
Yep. 2021, 1,021.
So, you know, there is that one season there. But yeah, I'd love to see him on a different team, maybe just a different coaching staff, just give him another opportunity. See what happens. He's 26. Like I said, he's not that old.
He will be 26. Some places, 25 right now.
25. So he only started to be able to rent a car in some places. Some states he might not even been able to rent a carpet shampooer until last year. Exactly. He's not that old yet.
Yeah, I just love looking at these guys that, you know, that I, maybe because I have a soft spot for him because of the previous years, but, you know, looking at old Antonio Gibson, I just think, you know what, I would toss out a 6th-round pick for him. See if somebody bites, because if you drafted him, you're like, you want out of that. You're just like, yeah, fuck it, I'll take a sixth.
Most rookie drafts are 5 rounds. I'll take a 6th.
That's why I'm offering a 6th, Ty.
That's how bad I'm out.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the wide receivers quick here. There's a couple really interesting ones. Biggest name on the list. Is he the biggest name? I'm gonna scroll the list here. I think the most interesting one on the list would be this, but we'll start with the most interesting one on the list.
I think T. Higgins is the biggest name on the list.
Well, Mike Evans too.
I don't know if I'm first, but
we're gonna talk about old T. Huggy, because he's the he really is a wild card as far as where he ends up, because he's gonna get the bag, and it's not gonna be in Cincy, and I don't think getting away from Chase is a bad thing necessarily. He might be able to go somewhere where he can be the big dog, but it is his payday, and I think he's gonna go where the money is. He's had the chance to kind of compete in Cincinnati. It's not like he hasn't had a sniff at the playoffs or anything like that. Like, he's played with a good quarterback. But question is, will it be a Tyreek Hill situation or more of a Davante Adams situation where he ends up somewhere that's, you know, kind of in turmoil, or just ends up in the, I mean, Tyreek Hill, you could fucking put Tyreek Hill in this. You could put him in the CFL and he'd still lead the NFL in fucking yards.
Yeah, he'd find a way.
So Ty,
absolutely.
What do you think about old Tay-Tay?
Old Tay-Tay Higgins? I mean, this year it hasn't been great for him. But I think we kind of know why. Joe Burrow looked like shit at the start of the year, and that was definitely injury, because he looked awesome for a couple of weeks until recently when he got injured again. So it's been a bit of a rough year for him in Cincinnati, but I don't think that'll matter. I think everyone knows what he's capable of doing. He can be an alpha, kind of like one receiver on most teams. And as far as all the free agent wide receivers, even including Mike Evans, who likely stays in Tampa, but we'll talk about him in a second, I think his route tree for T. Higgins is probably the most impressive. He's going to be the player that teams are after at 25 years old. The franchise tag for him is $22.9 million. So I can't see Cincinnati franchise tagging him. I just don't see the money working. So I think he does hit free agency. And like you mentioned, getting away from Ja'Marr Chase could potentially be a good thing for him, but there's a lot of scary options for him as well. Like if I, right now, you just said, Ty, you have to pick one prediction. Where does T. Higgins play next year? The first thought that comes to my mind is, I don't know, Carolina.
That's gross.
They're going to have money.
I don't like that.
They'll throw a lot of money at him. They need options for Bryce Young. They want to kind of grow. Like, does he turn down a massive contract there? And, you know, if something like that happens, not so good.
Carolina's a nice state. I could see myself growing old there.
Oh, it'd be a nice place to live. Great
barbecue,
I'm sure.
Nice weather.
But yeah, that could be ugly for fantasy. So the whole free agency thing, it's kind of a weird thing. With running backs, I don't mind if they move. It doesn't seem to matter as much. With wide receivers, sometimes it's great, but often it's scary for me. I'd rather them just stay in the situation that I know, situation I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, but he's got so many years left. That's the thing.
That's fair. He does.
But he's also got so many years to spend on a shit roster like Carolina. Straight
up! Yeah, that'd be wasting some years, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would not be good.
So what do you do? You're not competing and you own this guy. What are you doing with T. Higgins if you're not competing?
If I'm not competing, I'll throw him out there. I'll see what I can get. I'm not trading him straight up for necessarily just for a draft pick. I don't know if you need to do that, especially a late first or a combination. But maybe you see if you can do something, get a little creative with it. Maybe you can get JSN or you can take like a rookie receiver and kind of add another piece to it or see if you can address like a different position. I maybe see what you can do there. But otherwise, like, I'm not in any way thinking I have to move them as much as the free agency things. It scares me, but also titillates me.
Yes.
So I kind of want to see where it goes.
I'm conflicted. Now, Ty, the one thing about T. Higgins is that Joe Burrow is out. So if you're looking at contenders and going, hey, I got a wide receiver for you, he's underperformed this year, and his excellent starting quarterback is out. Nobody's biting on that, man.
Yeah, you're right. That is a really good point I had not considered for some reason.
So my thought on T. Higgins is if I'm not contending, I'm keeping him.
Yeah, fair.
Because I still think you're going to have a hard time replicating his production and talent, even with a first-round rookie pick, unless it's in maybe a top five or top six, right? And anyone in the top five or top six is not trading you picks for T. Higgins right now. It doesn't really benefit them long-term. So I think T. Higgins for me is a firm. I know what I got, and I'm waiting to either get the value next year when he hits again, or I'm just going to see him out.
That's fair. That's why I said, like, you know, if you can get creative and you can, like, you kind of form a bigger trade, like, it's not a straight up, like, to a contender necessarily. You kind of just get creative and make a trade, sure. But otherwise, yeah, absolutely. Good point.
So let's touch on Mike Evans real quick.
Okay. Let's do it.
Touch on him. I think he's going to be back at Tampa.
You know, Dave would have done a better job of leading me in here and making me feel comfortable, ready to speak.
Oh, sorry, Ty. All right, Ty. So, Mike Evans.
Mike Evans,
wide receiver, his favorite chocolate is fudge. Mike Evans is what he always has been and kind of always will be, just in a diminishing capacity year over year. Question for me with Mike Evans is, who's his quarterback next year?
Yeah, I don't
Baker's
know.
Baker's a free agent.
He's looked pretty good, but he's also a free agent. They've had some tough luck in Tampa the last couple of weeks. Like, there's been, I think it was actually Ian Hartetz on Twitter posted this. But it was like 3 weeks in a row or something of like Baker Mayfield leads a drive, they get a field goal, they take the lead, and then all of a sudden, you know, CJ Stroud comes back and they win the game, and it's just like they keep losing on like, you know, improbable kind of last second plays where it seems like they're kind of, you know, they almost have it. So I think they're, you know, probably not super dissatisfied with Baker, so it could be him. But also if it's not, then that's probably okay too, because, you know, just Baker. But Mike Evans probably, I can really only see him staying in Tampa. I'd love to see him hit the free agent market, maybe go to like Detroit or something. There's a couple of scenarios where I could really, you know, I was kind of hoping early in the year if he did hit the trade market, that would have been quite interesting. You know, I'm a Bills fan. Fuck it, I love him in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he probably just stays in Tampa.
I don't know, Ty. Buffalo's pretty beautiful awesome, in the winter.
Oh, yeah. If you like snow.
Yeah.
Quite lovely.
Now, Mike Evans is a tough one just because of the quarterback. And I think he's fairly quarterback-proof. But Baker, I think, has to stay there. He seems to be an above league average quarterback, I would say, at this point, because league average is pretty fucking low.
Yeah, unless they, like, I mean, do they trade up in drafts? Otherwise, like with Kyle Trask, like they have to bring him back, right?
All right, so Mike Evans, you're in a, I'm moving on from him if I'm not competing, that's for sure.
Yeah, I probably would as well. Depending on the return, I wouldn't sell short on anybody. That's probably a bad fantasy strategy, but
yeah. But also,
yeah,
holding on to a guy for year after year after year because you don't want to sell short and then losing him for nothing is never... I've done it. Dez Bryant, I've done it. Rob Gronkowski, I've done it.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Eventually, you got to go, all right, well, my price is never going to be met. And Mike Evans is an aging receiver. Been in the league. He's going on his 10th... I think he's in his 10th season right now, actually. Yeah, that's a long time, but he's been... I wouldn't say healthy, but he hasn't... he's only missed a few games per year. He always tends to miss a couple.
Good for that. Remember when he was... We've been doing Dynasty a long time. So remember, was it him and Sammy Watkins were the two... I think that was the same rookie draft year.
Oh, my God. Sounds about right.
I hope I'm not wrong.
It's pretty close.
But I think that was it. I remember that was a big debate that year, and that was when I was really starting to get into Dynasty. And hey, Mike Evans. Anyone that was on the Mike Evans side.
You won that.
You won that one.
Yep. Buffalo lost that one. That did not work out. But I digress. Speaking of not working out, Ty, the opposite of that, Marquise Brown worked out quite well for most of the season. He looked good, for the most part, in a Cardinals uniform. Of late, hasn't been as great since old Kyler came back. Now, Hollywood, lately, Ty, has looked a little less Hollywood and a little more San Fernando Valley. For those of you in the know, that's where porns are filmed. 90% of them. That's a stat. You can look it up. He's more of a man-to-man guy, Ty.
Porn industry. Wow.
And today's NFL is very zoned.
Stop talking about your porn interests.
What?
Oh, I thought you were still talking about porn interests for you.
Well, I'm talking about him, but I mean... Yeah, I get your joke. Fuck. All right.
Yeah.
I think you're trying to be less crude, Ty. It's not working out well.
Yeah, but then I realized I don't have the intelligence for that.
No, you do not. No, you do not. But I see, like, he definitely excels in kind of man-to-man coverage, and a lot of teams now are very zone-heavy scheming, and I just don't see him having more value than he'll ever have this year. I just don't see it. I don't.
I don't either. Probably he's not going to have more value than maybe he had
rookie a
few weeks ago.
Was a rookie?
Even? Well, rookie for sure, yeah. Because he was a first-round rookie pick. But even right now, like, are you really talking to, like, anyone else in your league into giving up a lot for him at this point is my question, I guess. But I guess you take what you can if somebody's going to give you a second, or maybe this is a time that you look at a rookie that's disappointed. Maybe you take Marvin Mims and you say, you know, you're competing. Do you want some depth here? It's a PPR league. Kyler's back. I know it hasn't looked good the last the first 2 weeks, but they're bound to figure it out.
Yeah. Kyler's looked pretty good, though.
Maybe. Yeah. Kyler's
for fantasy, he's looked great.
Yeah, injury-wise, Eve, too. Like, it doesn't seem like anything's impacted him there.
He's quick as fuck, still.
Still quick as fuck.
Yeah.
Cuts wind like a fart.
I think people are very easy to give second-round picks, and sometimes the second-round pick
for sure, yeah,
is better than your first-round pick. And that's happened to me many times where, you know, Alvin Kamara... 1 year was my second round pick. That turned out pretty good. You know, I've had times where I've had, Kevin White was my first round pick.
Well, our main dynasty league this year, my first round pick was Kendra Miller. My second round pick was Tajay Spears. Third was Tank Dell. It just kind of
reversing order
better. Yeah. So like that can happen. Sure.
I think Tank Dell still can be had for less than he's worth too.
I want to talk about him so bad. I think he's like a top 15, 20 wide receiver in Dynasty.
He could be, Ty.
I love Tank Dell. Did you see his touchdown this week?
It was incredible.
It was fucking awesome.
That little guy got up there.
He did. I thought he was going to need a stepladder to catch that thing, but he just jumped.
No, he didn't. Not with legs like that. He's a leaper.
And that was honestly like no joke. That was one of the better routes I've seen in a long time, too. I don't know a ton about route running or just running. I don't like to do either of those things, but yeah, that was awesome.
Well, if I was going to run, I'd prefer to have a route. I'm not really one to run free form. I like a good defined route.
See, I'd prefer to run more as like the crow flies. I don't want to do these like zigs and zags. That seems like extra steps.
I think it is. Now, I still think he can be had for less of his value, though. And if you're rebuilding, he's a guy that you should be willing to give up a very established wide receiver for. Easy. Because I think he's only going to get better. I don't see a regression coming from him. He's tied to, I don't know if you know this tie, but his quarterback, CJ Strudel, he's quite good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like all Ohio State quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
this year.
He's good. He's good. No, the Tank Dell, yeah. I can't believe I made us talk about Tank Dell. I'm turning the podcast again, as I always do. Yeah. But yeah, Tank Dell is someone that you should be after, whether you're competing, rebuilding, it doesn't matter. Hollywood Brown, get rid of him if you're competing. I don't think I'm buying, no.
I don't know, man. If I was competing and I wasn't in the kind to pay a ton of attention, which there's been years where I didn't pay enough attention to week to week, just kind of the player, I never watch a Cardinals game very often. I'll catch the highlights, and he usually makes the highlights. So someone might be fooled into just looking at his stats over the season and going, yeah, no, this is a guy I probably should get. He's got a lot of targets. So, but yeah, he's not it for me. That's for sure. He's not one to hold on to. Speaking of not holding on to, though, Calvin Ridley. I held on to him for years, Ty. Years waiting for him to come back. He started off well, too, briefly. Looked great against Buffalo. Yes. Looked wonderful against Buffalo and looked good last week. But just like the man himself, many gambled on his production returning after a lengthy absence. But the death of Kirk's fantasy production was vastly overrated. Christian Kirk is still the guy there.
Yeah, it does appear. Yeah. And he's on pace. He's on pace for less than 1,000 yards. I put in brackets double check math, which I didn't do. So I hope that's still correct.
No.
So not.
He's on pace for about 1,000 yards.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. So that was before Sunday's game that I started that. So he's on pace for about 1,000 yards, which it's fine. Trevor Lawrence finally looked good this week. That was the first really big game out of him in a while. So we'll see how that kind of goes for the rest of the year. But with Calvin Ridley, it's been such an up and down year. And the passing offense in Jacksonville, it really hasn't been what we expected. But I still think Calvin Ridley has more than a couple of suitors on the free agent market. Like as far as this receiver class goes, he's always been known as a good route runner. And he's probably one of the more explosive players in the class. So I could definitely see teams wanting to utilize that. I think he's likely to find a home where he's going to be, a pretty big part of the offense. Again, could it be, the Panthers, the Giants? The Giants need wide receivers, in which case, not great. But if I'm on a team, back to our, kind of focus here, if I'm on a team that's not competing, what am I doing with him? I'll float him out there. I don't know that the return is going to be great. I almost just want to gamble, keep him for next year, and see what happens.
Ty, if I was to tell you that Calvin Ridley is going to be 30 next year, does that change your mind at all?
Well, I know he's 29 now, so it's not shocking to me, but that's a fair point.
Doesn't seem like he's 29, though, does he? He was older when he was drafted, though. He's 24 in his rookie year.
He was 24 when he was drafted, yeah, that's right.
If you look over his career, he's really only had the one exceptional year from a yards perspective. He had 1,374 yards in 2020. He did have 10 touchdowns in his rookie year, which was that plays in any format. But he's only reached the 1,000-yard mark once. I mean, this is only his fifth season for a guy who's going to be almost 30 by the time the season's over. But I don't know, man. He's not that big. I don't think. I think he's lost a bit of speed.
He still looks pretty fast.
I know, but he's 6'1" and he's under 200 pounds. Like I just don't. I think the speed's going to fall off pretty quick at age 30. I don't know how much. I don't know how much he's got left in the tank as a, And he's been so inconsistent this year. I mean, a lot of that is on Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars offense. But I'm not banking on him really improving much over this season next year.
I don't know if he improves. I think the situation might.
Yeah.
For fantasy, at least. And that's kind of what you hope for. But no, I get it.
Okay. If you have a league where your deadline doesn't, either you don't have a deadline or it hits at the fantasy playoffs. For me, if you own Calvin Ridley and you're not competing, I would be looking for 2-3 good games in a row. Maybe just even 2 good games in a row, 1 really big game, and seeing if I could move him. I'm not sticking with him long term.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And like it's easy for me to say I do see upside and I see some good potential here because I'm in 15 leagues and I don't actually have a single Calvin Ridley chair. So I haven't had to go with the ups and downs, I guess. I just kind of remember the prospect that was a bit older that you and I both liked quite a bit. And I think it was either Dave or Nick that we'd always argue with about because he was too old as a prospect. And then seeing him succeed. But I still think when I watch him, I still see a good speed. I still see some of the assets that I like. So, you know, I guess we'll see. See how the rest of the season goes and where he could potentially end up. If it's back in Jacksonville, then you probably wish you would have sold him. So. And a lot of other situations, if he ends up in the Giants or the Panthers, you probably wish you would have sold him. So, yeah, maybe that's the right call.
Yeah. Speaking of right calls, Ty, there's a lot of wrong calls about Michael Pittman coming to the offseason, wasn't there?
Oh, that could have been one of the, when you asked at the start, your worst takes of the season. Like, I was never massively anti-Michael Pittman, but I kind of joined the entire...
the echo chamber?
You know, the entire, most of the echo chamber in the fantasy community of, that's a player to avoid in redraft or... You know, you don't want Michael Pittman this year. Turns out you kind of did.
Yeah, and we didn't really get to see him with his potential starting quarterback this year very much. So that's still a bit of a question mark as to the Anthony Richardson era in Indianapolis. He's looked pretty good with Gardner Minshew this season, on pace for 1,000 yards. Only got 3 touchdowns, though. He's never been a big touchdown guy, his best season being 6 in 2021. But he wasn't moved at the deadline, and the Colts aren't contending. So I'm thinking Jim Irsay might open his old bourbon-soaked wallet there and pay up a little bit for this talented wide receiver. They got a pretty good 1-2 punch. I mean, Downs has looked pretty good this year.
Love Josh Downs, yeah. And I think you need these types of good receivers to bring Anthony Richardson back, too.
Yep.
And the Colts, there was obviously the whole Jonathan Taylor saga that was, you know, pretty messy and pretty shitty. But generally, they have actually wanted to pay, you know, some of their early draft picks, and they have done so. So I imagine that Michael Pittman comes back to the Colts, and I think he showed us this year it's been limited action with Anthony Richardson, but he still looked pretty good in those games and really good with Gardner Minshew. You know, Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, that's a pretty good base to start your wide receiver core. I think they bring it back. So if I own Michael Pittman in fantasy, I'm probably not selling unless I get a good offer. I don't see why.
What
you need?
What
to.
If someone throws you a first round pick for Michael Pittman though?
Depends. It depends on my roster. Mm-hmm. I know we've said, you know, this is a team that's not competing, but not competing, having a 4-7 roster, there's a lot of different variations of that.
Yeah.
You could have a 4-7 roster where, you know, your quarterbacks were, you know, say Joe Burrow and Anthony Richardson, and you're a super flex league,
yep.
And you're just getting getting shit kicked every week because Joe Burrow was either injured or sucked.
I'm going to give you this
because
scenario
he was injured.
Time.
You know,
you have a 4-7 right. team, and your team is older. It's not because your quarterbacks have underperformed. You're just losing every week by 10 points. You're not underperforming. You're never projected to win. You don't have any. You know, you have like a really good team, and in real life, it'd be an amazing football team, but you don't have any stars. You don't have any game breakers. You don't have any guys that are going to go for 200 yards in a game or 2 or 3 touchdowns. Like, you don't have that.
So you have like, you know, outside of Michael Pittman, you have like a DeAndre Hopkins type basis, kind of like those types of players. Yeah,
it's just a bunch of guys that are going to, they're to score you points, but not enough to beat a team that's going to hit the projections.
In that case, I'll trade him for a first. In that case, I'll trade almost anybody for a first. Sometimes you just have to hit an absolute hard reset.
Now,
and it's kind of fun to do, too. So
I'm going to give you my take on Michael Pittman Jr. And I love him as a wide receiver. I love him as my wide receiver 2 or 3 because he's pretty consistent. The problem with Michael Pittman is he's only hit 1,000 yards once in his career, and it was in 2021. He came close in 2022, but he's only got 14 touchdowns over his entire career. That's not much. 14 touchdowns over 4 seasons, almost 4 full seasons at this point. Like, he's been relatively healthy. He's only missed a couple games over his entire career. But he's not the kind of player that's going to win you any weeks. And when he's not going to hit hard very often. And I think if you can get a first round pick for him, there's a couple wide receivers in this draft that are potential like season winners, the potential league winners. So I would almost, if I'm not competing and I'm always missing out on that potential 20 point a week or 20 point plus big week players, I might move Michael Pittman Jr. and take a chance on one of the top wide receivers or one of the top quarterbacks that, you know, that might fix your quarterback situation.
I don't disagree with this at all. I think that's a smart take, but just to play the devil's advocate a bit, as far as the yards and the touchdowns for Michael Pittman, I think he does profile as somebody that could certainly score touchdowns. He's got good size. The yards could come. He unfortunately entered the league, I think it was 1 year after Andrew Luck retired, and it's been a shit show at quarterback in Indianapolis since. So with Anthony Richardson, if he becomes, you know, the player that some people think he could, then maybe that changes next year. But again, that's not, you know, me trying to, you know, refute the last point you made. I think you're right.
There's
in
always
that,
more
but
than
just
one
food
take
for thought, I guess. Yeah, food for thought. Anyway, I think.
And I think the big factor is Anthony Richardson. Like, is he going to be a quarterback that makes wide receivers relevant? Potentially, he's got a big arm. Cam Newton,
indeed,
definitely made a couple wide receivers some relevancy, but he did a lot of it on the ground, right? So my only concern is that he comes in and, you know, the touchdowns don't go up. The yards might stay the same. And like in PPR, like he gets, you know, he averages over 100 targets a season. It's not terrible.
141 last year.
141 targets last year. That plays. 99 receptions, that plays.
Yeah, he's going to hit the pretty good amount this year too, mm-hmm. So yeah. Yeah, fair point.
He's already got 66 receptions on the season, so he's on pace for a similar season to last year. But I love Michael Pittman Jr. And I think if you're competing and you have a couple boom bust players and a Michael Pittman Jr. and one of them booms every week, one of them busts, and Michael Pittman just kind of does his thing, then that's not a terrible thing to have. You know what is a terrible thing to have, Ty? And I will leave you on this to finish off the episode. One free agent that's coming up, somebody that we are pretty high on coming into the NFL. Nick was in particular. I was as well. Chase Claypool.
Oof. When you first said, I'm going to leave you on, what's the worst possible thing? I'm going to leave you on something that's terrible to have, is saying Jay announcing his herpes.
Yeah.
But no. Nope. Chase Claypool. Nope. That's worse.
It is worse. It is the herpes of a football team, because every team he's joined has been worse for having him. Up until recently, the Dolphins didn't even win after they made the Chase Claypool trade, Ty. It was kind of a thing. But I want to see who signs him. And if I'm tanking, his value is nothing right now. You could go get him for literally nothing. Any interest in putting out a flyer for him, maybe trading one of your dead players on your roster, or maybe a last round pick for him?
I mean, could you, like, is it a bad thing to trade a fifth round pick for him or somebody else on your roster you're never going to use? Like, if you have Darius Slayton or something like that, like just as like it's a body that's playing the NFL now, you probably won't lose much. If your team is tanking and you want to make sure you lose out the rest of the year, then adding Chase Claypool to your roster, that seems to help. That makes teams lose. Absolutely. So maybe that's a good strategy. Maybe that's 3D chess right there.
Now, Ty, this is a trick question. The answer is no. Chase Claypool sucks. Who cares?
Yeah, that is the answer. You're right.
But he's the kind of player that I'm looking for on the waiver wire when I am tanking, though, just to see if they're kicking around. Because he's like talent wise, he's actually a fairly talented player. He's just a horrible football player.
I think if he was a bit less of a schmuck, I'd probably be more interested. Like if he was just a bit more humble, or like if he didn't have that one play where he did the flex after his first down catch with Pittsburgh and the clock was still running and kind of cost him the game. Like just stuff like that, you know?
No, he's horrendous. But I don't know why I put that in there. Probably because I thought it was funny. Probably because I wanted to hear you maybe try and play the devil's advocate for Chase Claypool, but you're not that dumb. So, yeah.
Couldn't do it. Not that dumb.
Well, folks, it's been a pleasure. As Dave would say, don't forget to spay and neuter your pets, especially if they're raccoons. Always spay and neuter your raccoons.
This is the Dynasty Football Live Podcast.